We really do appreciate it, and all these other people appreciate it. And we just work for the Lord, keep working for Jesus. We're all in this together. Every joint supplies, and God keeps good records. He has a good bookkeeper, and he keeps good records, and your name's recorded. There's two books in heaven, the book of life, which your name's in, is also a book of works. That's where this morning, when you gave, it was written down in that book. The date, the time, the place, and the amount. Well, not the amount. The condition of your heart when you gave. The Lord's not interested that much in amounts, although if you give abundantly, you'll reap abundantly. But the amount could be to somebody that all the money they have in the whole world is $100 and they give 20. The amount doesn't seem like much, but in God's eyes, it was a lot. And you get somebody that's very wealthy and give $200 or $2,000, it's not much in the eyes of God. It's a condition that you give it in. That was recorded in that book. And when you get to heaven on the day of judgment, that will be read, and you'll receive rewards based on that in that life to come. But in this life, Mark 10 says, you'll also receive 100-fold. Well, now, who can beat that deal? I said, amen. Praise the Lord. Do you know what tabernacle means? Tent. Do you know the tabernacle didn't have any windows in? Why did I say that? I don't know. Not good anyway. Praise the Lord. I was thinking about looking over the congregation. I was thinking, well, we had some windows, people might cheer up sometime. Look in with me in Ephesians chapter 3. We've been talking about what's your purpose on this earth. We used Psalms chapter 8. There's a lot of people watching us today by, hello? China. God's gone China. And where was I? No, don't. You didn't do nothing wrong. Praise the Lord. That what is our purpose on this earth? Why did God call us? We use Psalms 8 where the psalmist said, what is man that you considered him, thou art mindful of him? What is man? And I went in, you know, a couple of weeks. We've been doing this, and probably today's the last day I'll talk about it. Try to get into us. Why are we here? What's our purpose here? Well, it's not just to be born again and go to heaven. If it was, why don't we go on? Why is the devil here? Why did God allow the devil to be here? Why did God allow the persecutor or the adversary or the enemy to be here and to stay here? Why does he allow him to be our adversary, our enemy? What is all this about? Bible says God made us a little lower than the angels. It says in Matthew 18, don't you know one day that you will give orders or you'll rule angels? You are the only thing that God ever created that's like you. Angels are not like you. You have a free will. Of course, angels also do. But God created man to rule with him. Throughout the ages, God created man and created you to share in his glory and to share in his rulership. And we are made his family. We're his family. He didn't just create us to praise him. He just didn't create us to worship him. Some people say, well, he needed a family or someone to fellowship with. Well, God's not lonely. God didn't need a family. God didn't need somebody to fellowship, although he did need a family and did need somebody to fellowship with in the aspect of why he created us. But out of a need or an emptiness or a longing, God's fully satisfied. God is complete. He doesn't need anything. He said, if I was hungry, would I tell you? What would you do about it? You know, you can't feed God. You can't bring God water. You can't help God in any way except obey him and do what he called us to do. God had a plan, for man. And I've thought about this much. Why am I here? Why are we here for, Lord? What is all this about? And I explained the fact, you know, God is love. There's no way God could express that love unless he had some way to express that love. Greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for a friend. God expressed himself and who he really is and shone forth his love in the fact that Jesus Christ died to redeem us. And all creation sees and knows God in a way they would not have known God outside that. The angels, 1 Peter says, the angels look in the church and long and wonder about what we're doing, about the redeemed. We're the only things that's redeemed. But he created us to rule and reign with him in eternity. And the Bible declares and says, if you rightly divide the word, we're here now in school. We're here now being trained to one day rule, to sit with him and to rule with him. The Bible says we are equal with Jesus. Not in deity, naturally. We're not gods. But we're equal with Jesus in his natural state. Amen? We are joint heirs with Jesus. The Bible says that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in Jesus, Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He said, let that mind be in you. Well, we're not equal with God on the same plane God is, as God, but we are in a position that's elevated above all creation. There is nothing. Angels are not. There's no creation. We are second only in creation to Jesus Christ. Then we're joint heirs with Jesus in rulership and authority. He gave us this earth. He told Adam, he said, what did he create Adam for? He created Adam, and he said, I want you to rule this garden. When God created Adam in chapter 1, 2, 3, there's nowhere in there that God said, now I want you, I've created you here to praise me. He didn't say that nowhere. What it did say, he gave Adam a job. He said, your job is take control of this garden, manage this garden, work this garden, and I'm going to give you a helpmeet, a wife. And I said Friday night about knowing the love of God. Everything, Romans 1 says, everything in nature speaks of God. You can see God, if you didn't have a Bible, you could see him in nature. And everything God did, he did to speak of himself. He gave us a marriage, a wedding. Nothing else in creation has that. There's nothing else that he created that marries. Angels don't get married. There's no reason to. He did that on the earth so all creation could see on the earth and man could see and understand the heart of God. See, when he gave you a union, a helpmeet, he gave that to you. He told the men in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And to nourish it and to cherish it and take care of it. And he said, love her like you love your own body, for no man yet ever hateth his own body, but he nourishes it and cherishes it. And you do that with your wife, just as Jesus does us. And by doing that, we can feel and see how God treats us. Now, and I said Friday that nowhere does it say, wife, love your husband. It says, but they're supposed to love their husband. But it says, wives, you respond to the love of your husband as we respond to Jesus. We didn't love Jesus first. He loved us first. All we ever do is respond to his love. And the older we get, the more we know about God, the more we study his word, the more we fall in love with him. When you first got born again, you didn't love God. How can you love something you don't know? Well, you thought you loved God because you felt love. You sensed love. You knew he loved you, and you responded to that love. And the action of you responding to that love, you loved. And the more you know about him, the more you love him. Angels doesn't have that privilege. They don't know that. They were created for one thing, and that's what they do. You were created with a free will that you can love God or not love God. And he wants a whole company. Jesus called it his body or the church. We find out in Matthew 16 why Jesus came to the earth to build his church. We are his church. We are his body on the earth. And he said, when they see you, they will know me. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he said, I'm going away, but I'll give you the Holy Spirit to help you. And when the world sees you, they will see me. Or they're supposed to. Our position here is to express to the world and all of creation who God is. He is love. Jesus said, this commandment I give you, that you should love one another. The only commandment we have, two commandments, that we should love one another and believe on the name of Jesus. The Ten Commandments are fulfilled in that one commandment, that you should love anybody, love one another. You're not going to shoot somebody you love. You're not supposed to. You're not going to be mean to somebody you love, your wife or your husband. You're not supposed to. But we do, because we're not yet been trained. We're sent here, and we stay here, and we're placed in the church, in that body where we're connected to that body. John chapter 15, it says, by being connected to Jesus or connected to the vine, it causes the nature and the life of God to flow into us. But John chapter 15 talked about connected to the branch or the vine, where the branch is on the vine, that's being connected to the body. The Bible says, he that's planted will flourish. He that's planted in the house of God. You'll never be what you're supposed to be. You'll never come to maturity. You'll never come to the full knowledge of God. You'll never be what God placed you on this earth to be unless you are connected to the church. You're supposed to be in the church. Why do you think the devil fights people from going to church? You find your place and your position, who you are and what you're called to be, by being in the church. And in that connection and in that place he connected you to, that's where he trains you. That's where he allows you to mature and grow. And you'll rule and reign in life through one Christ Jesus. We're supposed to rule in this kingdom. The kingdom of God now is on the earth. And we'll see here in Ephesians what our job is. Look with me in chapter 3, verse 9. Does that make any sense thus far? Well, every once in a while I say, buddy, that's good preaching. Chapter 9, verse 9, chapter 3. Paul said, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now that word fellowship in the Greek means dispensations. Now, stand out a lot of theology and all that. Dispensation, we have seven dispensations. We're in the dispensation today called the mystery. Paul said that we are to make people see through the fellowship, or the dispensation we're in, the mystery. Our dispensation just means a period of time. There's been seven, or there'll be seven. We're in number six. The last one is the millennial reign. That's when he finishes off. It's taken 6,000 years for God through man to bring us up to this point in knowledge to see what our job is on the earth. Through revelation, through this revelation, through periods of time, he has imparted to the church and to his people his revelation of who he is. This is where denominations come from. You see, Martin Luther got a revelation in a dispensation, a revelation in a period of time, that the just shall live by faith, or we're saved through grace, or faith by grace, a grace, faith, you know. It's our faith. Grace has given us the contract of salvation. Our faith is what takes hold of it. Up to that point, is the Catholic Church, they had all of this, and Martin Luther tacked his thesis on the wall and said, no, the just shall live by faith. He had great persecution. That was a revelation that was given to the church. And so it wasn't much. So it went on, and for a while, and it was established, that truth was established, so they built a camp. So they called it the Lutherans. Then the Methodists came. Then the Wesleyan, John Wesley, and all them, they brought the truth, the Methodists. And what happens, the church, we have a real problem of moving on. When we get a truth, we just camp. That's where the Baptists come from. We got a revelation of salvation, you know, through the blood of Jesus and being baptized into water and for the remission of sin and all that. And the Baptists just camped. And so God tries to add something else, and we won't take it. God establishes truth based upon periods of time. And so we're in what we call the church age. We're in the final age that will wind this thing up to where we'll thrust ourselves in the last dispensation, which is called the millennial reign, where we'll rule and reign on this earth with Christ Jesus. There'll be no sickness, no disease, be just like it was in the Garden of Eden. But the church is the last dispensation that will be on this earth until the millennial reign comes. We're it. And so we are being trained and schooled in this to be matured to where we'll rule with him. Not only in this time, but the period of time to come. What you're doing now and what you're growing now, you're growing up to be a ruler with him in eternity. Amen? Nobody ever teaches this, preaches this, but the Bible is full of it. Why are you here? Well, I'm just hanging on. I'm just waiting to be raptured. Why do you think you have trials and tests? The Bible says Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. And the Bible says we will suffer with him. Every trial you face from the enemy is causing you to flex your spiritual muscles. You're to get stronger and you're to grow. And you're proving to the devil and you're proving to creation, hey, I can rule. He gave all authority to the church. He gave it all to us. Now, church, my little church, you rule. All the dispensations up to this point, I've brought forth a truth. Now I've given the last truth, the last revelation. Paul said, I finished this thing out. Paul said that. He said, when I write the last book, the last letter, and it goes into the Bible, that's it. There will be no more Bible. He finished it. That's why we can't add one thing to this book. All the dispensations are fulfilled in this, except the millennial reign, and we'll fulfill that. I mean, we're called for something bigger than what we think we're doing. Amen? Through the fellowship of the mystery, which is the church age, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden for 6,000 years or 4,000 years, was hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to principalities and powers in heavenly places according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Jesus. You see, there was a war started, and that adversary, and the first war that was ever started was in heaven. You know the story with Lucifer. He fell and became Satan. Well, God had a plan for man. And he created that plan, made man in the garden, and there he was. And so Satan said, I'll overthrow that man. And God said, you won't either. And so now then, if there's any wisdom to be made known by anything to the world, to demons or anything, God says, look at the church. Look at my church. My church will show you. Amen? So that's why the devil tries to keep us dumb. We know a little about everything except the Bible. Look with me in Hebrews. Over in the book of Hebrews. Chapter 2. Hebrews 2. You know, to catch up where we was at, you'd have to hear the rest of the tapes. I don't have time to explain to you about the devil and what's going on between God and Satan, you know, and how he brings you up constantly before God and accuses you day and night before God. And this is what you call to rule. This is what you call to be an authority. This is what you call to be your second in command. This. And so the war is all the time in the spiritual realm about you. It's Satan and God. God says, have you considered my servant Job? He said, I have. He said, he's more righteous than anybody in all the earth. He said, yeah, but let me take away his finances and see if he'll serve you. Let me attack his body and see if he'll serve you. I know some Christians who have quit serving God for nothing, hardly. They get offended. And they get offended because somebody didn't speak to them. They get offended because they didn't rub their fur the right way. That preacher didn't even shake my hand. Huh? And they're offended. You never see them again. Now, you didn't have to take away their money. You didn't have to take away nothing. Just stuck your tongue out at them. And they take off running. I'm mad. My feelings hurt. I'm never going to church again. I run into people all the time. I say, where you go to church? I don't go to church. I got, you know, offended in church. You got offended in church? You probably got offended at a restaurant. You go back and eat. You got offended at the garage. Take your car back. You got offended everywhere in the world, and you didn't quit except church. Poor old God. What's he going to do? Well, you know, people are looking to be offended so they have a good excuse. They don't want to serve God because there's pressure. There's pressure on you forming you now into a great leader. There's pressure on you, and that pressure comes from your adversary. Isaiah chapter 54 said, I create smith, bloweth coals, I create destroyer to destroyer. He is my weapon for use. Do you know David would have never been king if it hadn't been for Goliath? Yep. Amen. Amen. You know, three Hebrew children never got a great promotion and been promoted high up in the kingdom if it hadn't been for the fiery furnace? Do you know Daniel wouldn't have been second in command if it hadn't been for the lion's den? They said, get that man out of here. He said, after he got him out, old Darius said, anybody that says anything about his God, they get thrown in the fiery furnace. Wow. If that had been most Christians, we'd all been ruined right there. I don't go in that furnace out, you know. They said, old Nebuchadnezzar said, now everybody better bow when they hear the music. You know, Satan still uses music to get kids to bow. And he looked out over that place, and there stood three little old boys. Now, there's a whole bunch of Jews there. The whole nation, almost the whole nation was there. And all of them was bowing. They'd been to the same church at the Shadrach, Meshach, and the Billy Goat had been. You didn't catch that, did you? What the little old boy in Sunday school, long time ever with Sunday school, that's what he said. Teacher asked him to name them. He said, Shadrach, Meshach, and the Billy Goat. They'd been the same church they'd been. Heard the same message. Knew the same law. Why'd they bow? Well, that's the law. You know, that's just the law. We can't pray in school. That's just the law. You know, you can't pray or do anything at a ball game. What? That's just the law. You know, that's just the law. We have to go. The Bible says you're supposed to, you know, go along with the laws of the land. Huh. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said, his law. They said, well, Nebuchadnezzar, now we honor you, sir, and we do honor your place of authority, and we do honor your position, and we realize you made this law, but I'm sorry, sir, but we have a higher law. And the God we serve, who's a higher law, says that we cannot bow to any false god or an image. Now, I'm sorry. He said, I'll give you one more chance. Why do you think our government, old liberal government, is after the church? Satan hates you. You're the only thing on this earth giving him trouble. But in the midst of all of it, it is making you strong and making you a leader. God is watching you as well as the devil. God will say, I'm going to use you mightily in finances. Well, he's not until you get strong. And so the little boys didn't bow, and he threw them in the furnace, and they said, who's that in there with him? Looks like the Son of God. How do they know who the Son of God was? Looks like the Son of God. Looks like what those Christians have been talking about. And they said, well, get them out of there. You know, there's dancing around in the fire. And they got promoted. Promotion comes out of the fire. Amen? Amen? Or in Hebrews, where are we at? 2? Let's see. Verse 5. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, what is this man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over all the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under man. But now, we do not yet see all things that's put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made as a human, a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that we, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. By the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it is fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom all things, is bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sacrifices and those who are being sanctified or sanctified, not sacrificed. Feel like we're sacrificed. And those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call us brethren. This reason, saying, I declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly, we sing praises to you. Now notice, he has given every single thing to man. Amen? Every single thing he gave to man. He said, yet, but not all things are yet put under him. Well, the only enemy that's left is death. And there's coming a time that that death will be put under our feet. And 1 Corinthians 15, 54, I think, says, oh, death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? We've conquered you now, death. We will conquer that one day. There'll be no more death. Man in rulership under God. But now look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Are you enjoying this? Might be over some of his head, but you got to start somewhere. Ephesians chapter 4. Is that what I said? Now remember, we are here. Satan robbed Adam, took the authority back. He became God of this world. Why didn't God kill Satan when Adam fell? Why didn't he just, when he threw Satan down, why didn't he just annihilate him? Well, man would not be perfected. You couldn't give a man a free will and say, there it is, and everybody will serve me and worship me. No, they won't. Man had to be perfected. Man had to be tried. There is nothing in this universe or in the world, there's nothing on this earth. You don't want to get in airplanes never flew or never been tried or tested. I'm not getting in the thing. Somebody try and see if that thing will fly. Everything has to be tested. You won't get a promotion on your job unless you pass some tests. You don't get through school unless you pass some tests. You don't get a degree unless you pass some tests. You don't be a doctor or nurse or anything unless you pass some tests. Everything in this life has tests. And if you'll pass the test and you'll, grade high on the test, you get ahead in life better. Everything. Remember chapter 1 of Romans? It says all nature shows us how God's kingdom works. So Jesus came and explained it to man. He said, you see this seed? That's how my kingdom works. You plant it. Everything works. We can see it all around us. Everything's by test. So we come into the body of Christ. We're babies. We're just babies. Well, we come into the earth. We're babies. If it's just about getting us born again, just about going to heaven and just living this life here and God taking care of us, and we just have, a bed of roses all the time, why wasn't we born full grown? He made Adam that way. Why'd he make us little babies? Why do we have to be nurtured and cared for? And we have to learn how to talk. When you first come into the church, there's church talk. You read on in Ephesians here, it says, you have to talk right. James chapter 3 says you got to talk right. Proverbs says you have to talk right. Matthew says you have to talk right. You have to learn how to talk in church in the kingdom of God. It's got a whole different language. Well, a baby has to learn how to talk. Then a baby has to learn how to walk. The Bible says that milk belongs to a baby. Meat belongs to those who are full age. He said these things are given to those who are full age. You can stay a baby in the spirit realm all your life. Paul said they were. He said, you people ought to be teachers, but you're still little babies. You refuse to grow up. Everything that in the kingdom of God is pertaining to whether or not we grow up into all things. God will, in eternity, when it comes at the day of the judgment seat, which is really the reward seat, it all depends on whether or not you grew up. And if you didn't grow up, I'm sure he has ways growing us up. you will grow up. And so a little baby has to learn how to talk. I can show you this in Scripture if we had time. The Bible talks about babyhood stage, talks about adolescent stage, talks about young adult stage, talks about full grown age. Everything's seasons. All the seasons point to the spirit realm, how the seasons work. There's a time to plant, a time to harvest, time to grow, time to weed, time to plow, time to plant. Everything points to how the kingdom works. So a little baby has to learn to walk. Then you have to teach it. And it'll never make anything if it's not disciplined. But it's got to come out of a good family. It has to have a father and a mother. The father has to be like Jesus. And the mother has to be submissive to her husband. He has to treat her like Christ treats him. And back and forth. And the children see that. And they grow up in a good home. Then the kids begin to grow up. And God said, I like Abraham because he will teach his children after me. The whole thing, I show you a scripture where God said, I want a family or a certain amount of people. I don't know how many people God wants to build his body or how it takes to for his body. There's a number, evidently. When that number gets full, he'll come. I don't know how many it's going to take or how many he wants. But when he has that last one, the Bible says when the last Gentile comes in Galatians, when the last Gentile comes in, he's coming back. You didn't know all that's in the Bible, did you? But we have to grow up. It's all about growing up. You won't grow up until you go to church. You have to deal with people. Well, good morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. One God and Father of all who is above all and through all and in you all. He's a southern God. But to each one, now these people are not mad, they just have to go. I hope they're not mad. I never ran that many off at one time in my life. Got a new record. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, what's that mean? Grace means God's ability was given to you according to what you're called on earth to do. Whatever your gift is, whatever you're called to do, grace or ability was given to you for that. And there was a measure of ability. Just like in the ministry, everybody's not the same. There's different levels, and God gives us ability based on what he calls us to do. Matthew 25, the talents speak of that. But to each one. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, when he ascended, does this mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also one who ascended above the earth, that he might fill all things, and gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Notice, for the equipping, or perfecting, or the maturing. For the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? That we will rule and reign. In life, we will rule and reign for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect, full-grown, mature man to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ till we all come to all mature. Do you know today you're the body? Do you know you're going to be the bride? Now, how's that work? That we should no longer be little children. That we should no longer be children. The fivefold ministry, the pastor's job, my job as a pastor, is for you not to stay little children, or that word there's baby or infants. It's to grow you up. I'll stand before God, and he'll say, did you mature those people or make disciples? I say, I did my best. when they were there, I gave them all I had. I say, it's hard to make a disciple, Lord, and mature somebody that comes twice a year. How are you going to mature your child if you see it once a week? Well, get out of here. I mean, get with it here. Praise the Lord. That we should no longer be little children, thrown around every wind of doctrine by the devil. Now notice, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things. Now notice what it says here about, and I preached on this Friday night, remember, love. The whole nature of God and what he's wanting us to do and how we mature in the body of Christ is we mature and grow up to we love like he loves. He wants us to love. He said, the world will know, everyone will know, the principalities and powers of the air will know that the wisdom of God is in my church when you all show forth love toward one another. Why do you think Satan fights that? He says here, if we speak truth in love, we'll grow up. The sign that you're mature, that you've grown in God, that you can speak truth in love. That you can love one another. That's all the Holy Ghost is working on you for, is develop fruits. He's not working on you to have power. He's not working on you just to financially bless you. He's working on you, the Holy Spirit is working on you to mature you to where you'll stand before God on judgment day and he'll say, did you love? Now I can prove this to you by, I don't know how many scripture, a lot. That's what it's all about, my brother and sister. Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up. For whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by which every joint shall supply, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth to his body for the edifying of itself in love. Causes the body of Christ, his body, the purpose that Jesus came was to build his church, to grow his body. He said, you will grow in love, speak in love, and you'll cause yourself and each other to grow up to the fullness of Christ and his full stature in love. In love. That we should love one another. I can see you excited. This I say, therefore testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the emptiness of your mind, having their understanding dark, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness and work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as you taught by Jesus, then you put off all these old things, the former conduct, the old man, which causes you to be corrupt, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you shall put on the new man according to the knowledge and wisdom of God, that we may grow up. See, Christ is growing his body. There's got to be a fullness of it. There's a number. If you read on, he says he's coming after a church without spot or wrinkle. He will present it to himself. Now, one day we'll be the bride of Christ. What's the bride of Christ? Now we're the body of Christ. The body of Christ is on earth, and it's here to rule and reign, and to judge, and to put Satan under our feet and control. That's our job as a body. The bride's job is to be married to the husband and sit at his side to rule and reign with him. That's why we'll be the bride. We won't have the same authority. We're in full authority now. He's over us, giving us that. But one day we'll be his bride, then we'll walk, come along beside of him. In eternity, and we'll take the position of a bride. Amen? But now he's maturing. He's trying his best to grow the church, to grow the church, so the church will be full. Amen? Well, stand up. Or we'll be no longer little babies. Wow. What a hard job we have. Praise the Lord. Grow up in Christ, walking in the love of God, sharing the love of God, knowing the love of God, expressing the love of God. Wow. Whatever home on this earth called the church was exemplary of his love. What if every husband loved the wife as Christ loved the church? What if every wife responded to that love in submission and reverence? Bible says a wife should reverence her husband, respect her husband as you respect Christ. Well, I wouldn't respect Christ if he jumped on me every time I seen him, talked to me bad, slapped me around or whatever. I said, forget it. I may be afraid of you, but I don't respect you. Are you out there? What if we was like that? What if the whole church, every family is like that? And the church grew with families like that. And the nation grew with families like that. If I was Satan, the first place I'd go and I attack would be the home. I'd bring disorder in the home, and I'd attack the husband in the home, and I'd cause him not that, and I'd cause the wife, then I'd cause the children to be in rebellion, then I'd have what we have today in America. He's smart. The Bible knows what he's talking about. If we could grow up into that, we would be strong in the fullness of God, and we could put Satan under his foot. Our nation would be a glorious gospel-filled nation. It used to be. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in the body. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being grown up. Thank you, Lord, for every trial we've had, every test we've had, Lord, that we've applied the Word of God and we've won. And we've grown, Lord. My, have we grown. We used to be little babies, Lord, just kicked around, pillar to post, this church, that church, going everywhere, always learning and never coming to the knowledge, never planted, never fixed, never hooked to the vine, never growing, never establishing anything. How can we rule like that? How can you ever be promoted on a job if you quit your job every week? Father, thank you for the life in Christ that's in us. Lord, there's coming a day that you're picking leaders, that you're picking those in authority. Thank you, Father, for choosing us. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. Here comes Miss Penny. She's been blessed by having a good day. Has grown her up. Wait, don't stop right there.
Yeah, right. I did good until that part. We're all trying, amen? Okay, just a couple of announcements, and then we will pray and be dismissed. Reverend Ingolf Schmidt will be here Friday, March 13th at 7 o'clock, and Sunday, March 15th at 11. If you have not been here to hear Reverend Ingolf, I just call him Ingolf, Reverend Ingolf Schmidt, I really, really encourage you to come. He is from Germany. He was there when the wall fell, and God just has completely used him in that place and here in America, and we just love him. He has the sweetest spirit and a wonderful, wonderful testimony, so I encourage you to come for that. And Dr. Mary Baxter will be here Friday and Saturday, April 17th and 18th at 7, and Sunday, April 19th at 11. She is the lady that God allowed her to go to heaven and to hell. And she has written a couple of books on it. And her testimony is absolutely amazing. So she will be here to share some of that. So I encourage you to come to her too. Just come, you know, just come to church, I guess is the best thing to say. There are a few sample ballots on the bar. Early voting starts. That was last week, wasn't it? Is it still going on? Still a going. And there's some ballots still back there? Okay, so get you a sample ballot so you can see what's going on. Amen. Let's say our Psalms 91 confession together, because we do believe that what we say and what we confess will come to pass. Amen. Okay, here we go. We say this all together. Are you ready? Here we go. We live by the words of our mouth. We confess Psalms 91 right now in Jesus' name. I say that no evil shall befall me, and no plague shall come nigh my dwelling, for he has given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. I am going to live in great peace, great joy, and great prosperity. The grace of God is upon me, therefore I have the ability of God in life to be an overcomer. Everything I put my hand to will be successful. I have favor with God and man. I go from strength to strength. I will rule in life, live in joy, and walk in the love of God.